further gross events of the future as far as the world and the earth is concerned, is the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And when he comes, he is coming to set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. That kingdom which was spoken of by the prophets in the Old Testament, which was seen in so much detail by Daniel the prophet, a kingdom which was a stone cut without hand, which would destroy all the Gentile earthly world systems, smash them to pieces, and take over and fill the entire earth. That is the kingdom of heaven. And that will be set up. By the time Jesus Christ returns to the earth, I think the whole earth will have been united in heaven. I think there will be a second resurrection, and the remainder of the tribulation saints, and possibly those who were left behind at the first calling out a resurrection, I think they will all be resurrected before the battle of Armageddon, and I think they will be in heaven. The church in heaven, the body complete. Whether the whole church will come back again with Jesus Christ, I do not know. I know that there will be a company, and from the description used in the book of Revelation, it will be an army. An army called chosen faithful. Not faithful in heaven, faithful on earth. Who will have been recognized on earth as being the future administrators of the kingdom. At the present moment, I believe God is forming that company. And when the time comes, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to the earth at the crisis moment for Israel, at the moment of calamity for the nations of the world. And we are told in Zechariah, his feet will touch the top of Mount Olive. Mount Olive will start in two, and incidentally we are told by the geologists that they have discovered the Mount of Olive is cracked already, and the first small earthquake will divide it into two parts. That's why they won't build any big building on Mount Olive. Its foundation would be insecure and subject to earthquakes. I can tell you when that earthquake will take place. When his feet touch the Mount of Olives, it will pass. And with his army, he will present himself to the besieged nation of Israel in Jerusalem, and against the armies of the Gentile world gathered in the field of Megiddo, the plain of Megiddo, to form the battle of Armageddon, and with the breath of his mouth he will destroy that Gentile army, and the cry will go up from the throats and the voices of the king of Israel, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They will then recognize the Messiah who is Jesus of Nazareth, the one they despised, the one they rejected, and they will accept him. A nation will be born in a day, born again in a day, and they will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. He will then begin to set up the kingdom of heaven on earth, the rule of God on earth. The sovereignty of Jesus Christ over all the nations will begin in earnest. His throne, his seat of government, will be the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, this giant that is spoken of in the Old and New Testament. Thus, being the man, Jesus Christ will be restricted to being in one place at any one time. And I think we shall find that his general headquarters on earth will be the city of Jerusalem. That means that he will have to assign the government of the various nations to those who have been tried, called, and proved faithful, and who are trained in the authority and in the arts of government. That training is now taking place in this present day. And God is training men and women for the task, the future youth task of taking over the government. You may say that sounds like a dream. God specializes in such things. And if the present day politicians in Nigeria think that they can govern this nation, and they think they've had the training, then we get our training now under persecution, under the enemy whom God will use to train us. We can safely say we can manage. Remember, the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, will be closely in evidence. And when our minds are cleansed and renewed, when our brains are revived and quickened by the Holy Spirit, when all the traces of the Adamic nature have been put aside, we will be then new men and women, and we will go on to establish and to subdue the earth as Adam was told to do in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be a very big task. Think of all the problems that face us today in Nigeria. And remember, we are, by our presence as a church, as a body of cleansed believers, we are withholding the full force of evil being manifested. The whole presence of the Holy Spirit with the body of Jesus Christ on earth is holding back the forces of evil at the present moment. When we are removed, then the forces of evil will have full chance to do what they want to do. And I think there will be terrible situation arising. The book of Revelation speaks of the time when men and women will call for death and not find it. When conditions will be terrible. When they will only be able to do business as long as they are part of the great Babylon system and the mark of the beast is upon them. That is what is coming for the earth. I shall not be here when that takes place. But I have every intention of seeing that if by any means I can attain unto the resurrection out from among the dead, I will have by that time been trained in a position and in a position to exercise authority in government. For the many over 45 years that I've been in Nigeria, I have been undergoing training. And I received a certain amount of training in various sections of the society in Nigeria. I know what my future role could be, but whether I will be accounted faithful to it will be judged when we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You and I must first of all use the talents now that God has given us. 5, 2, or 1. We must use those talents. We must use them and prepare for the coming of the Master, the return of the Master. And when he comes, he will assign out the duties. Government over 10 cities, government over 5, or we shall lose that which God has given us and be counted as not worthy to be included in the government of the world. The judgment of the Bema judgment when we stand before Jesus Christ will not be for sin. It will be for work done, for our services. Judgment for sin has already been carried out on us. We cannot be judged again for sin. Our sin was laid upon Jesus Christ up the cross, and God poured out his judgment for our sin upon the head of his sin bearer, the Lord Jesus. We cannot be judged for sin again. We can be judged for services, for the use of the talents that God has given us, for the use of the time when we have been spending on the earth, and that will be the judgment. The presence of God will burn up everything that is not of God, and the wood and the hay and the stubble, the puny services that have been worked and ministered today by many Christians will be burned up as being self-seeking, self-aggrandizing service, where we build up our own kingdoms, where we build up our own what we want for ourselves, and that will be burned up. That which will stand the fire of his presence will be that which will be inwrought us, in us, by the Holy Spirit, the gold, the precious stones, and the silver. Those are the things which cannot be burned up. They will endure the fire. And I think it is to those people only that God will entrust the government of his world. We shall return, and what a job will be upon us then, to restore peace on the earth, to restore confidence on the earth, to restore good government on the earth, the setting up of councils for every city, for every state, for every nation. And there will be no army, there will be no police force. We will rule the nation with a rod of iron, not grace. The day of grace is now, and the day of grace is rapidly running out. That's why we can appeal to all men and women to repent and accept the gospel, because this is the day of forgiveness. This is the day of grace. But the day is coming when that day of grace will have ended, and God will turn in judgment to judge the Gentile nations and to judge the whole world for rejecting his Son. The judgment will not be so much of what sins they have committed, what immorality they have committed, what cheating or lying or stealing. It will be they refuse to accept God's way of salvation. They have refused to accept God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is enough judgment. The nations as a whole will be judged separately. And their judgment will be upon the way they have handled and acted towards God's special nation, Israel. The sheep nations will be those who have kindly dealt with Israel and showed no anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish feeling. And there are many nations today who will be destroyed, whose name will be blotted out as an existing nation because they have dealt unkindly, cruelly to God's nation Israel. The people of the world will be judged by their relationship to God, and they will be allowed to live on the earth and to grow and to go on in their normal life. But the new government will be over the earth, over every nation. There'll be a new government in Nigeria. There'll be a new government in every part of the world. How many new nations will come into existence? I don't know. I suspect that some will have to be divided up. But in any case, the whole world will be united under one leadership, the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be dictators in charge, not democracy. Democracy is not God's way of government. Theocracy, God's king, an autocratic ruler. And his word will be law. His kingdom will stretch from one corner of the earth to the other and cover every nation. And we, his people, will be regarded as being the government of this world. Now, can I ask you to pause? What do you think you would accept in place today of being part of that government? If you had all the 504s you could use, if you had all the millions of naira that you could use, the day is coming of reckoning, and you will lose the lot if your faith and life is not entrusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are poor in spirit, if you are meek at the present moment, and God has wrought into you the Sermon on the Mount motivation and character and disposition, then you will be amongst those whom God will use. The kingdom of heaven will be set up. Then there will be universal peace. There will be universal justice. There will be universal prosperity. And the kingdoms of this world will be under the sovereignty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the kingdom. It doesn't mean mere salvation. It doesn't mean mere healing. It doesn't mean mere deliverance. It means government. Government of the earth, on the earth, by the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to set up his government on the earth, and we intend to be part of that government. That's the new doctrine that is coming into the world today. God bringing it to light, preparing a people
for the new vision that will be taking part in that government. I want to appeal to you to seriously consider the seriousness of this situation and not to allow any mean ideas and visions of wealth, of position and ambition, and of earthly lustful pleasures today to rule you out of your inheritance in that kingdom. It is not worth, nothing in this world can be compared to that which is to come. All the silver and the gold and the root and the position and the authority you could enjoy today on the earth is nothing compared to that which will be revealed, and for at least 1,000 years we shall rule and reign with him. What happens after that is another story. A story which is in the Bible, containing Revelations chapter 21 and 22, but is not the subject of this message. The subject of this message is, when will the kingdom of heaven be set up? It will be set up on earth when the Lord Jesus Christ himself, with his trained, disciplined army of saints, will return to the earth to destroy the gathered army of the Gentile nations gathered against the people of God, and God will take over the control. The Lord Jesus Christ will be declared King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the nations will be under his sovereignty in his kingdom, and we, his people, will be declared the new government of every nation. Think of what that will mean in relation to Nigeria, and apply yourself to thinking and preparing yourself now to what will be needed in the future. Would you know what to do with the problems of any village? Think of the village problems today. The illiteracy, the lack of sanitation, the need for clean, pure water, the need for light and power, the facilities that are enjoyed by many parts of the world. Many thousands of villages in Nigeria today do not have these benefits. They will have to be set up. And so, we are encouraging young men and women to study the needs and the problems and to prepare themselves as engineers, as water engineers, as electronic engineers, as health officers, as medical people, for they all will be required, because the whole earth will be brought under new control and all these new amenities must be set up to be teaching the people the Word of God, to enable them to read the Word of God, to be teaching the people how to worship God. That is the new kingdom of heaven, a new kingdom in which peace, righteousness, prosperity and justice will reign forever and ever under the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of the kingdom today.
One other time factor I want to deal with in connection with this setting up of the kingdom. I am not laying too much emphasis on this, but I do want to draw your attention to certain things. The second chapter of Daniel speaks of the great image vision which was given to Nebuchadnezzar the king, which Daniel the prophet was able to interpret. Daniel 7 gives the account of Daniel's first vision, the four beasts representing four great empires, and then followed by the 10 horns and the little horn, which means really the revised Roman and revived Grecian empires. And then the stone which was cut without hands, which break in pieces and stamp the residue of the feet, and it was blown over all the earth and scattered. The setting up of the kingdom from a stone cut without hands. It was after this that the prophet Daniel said in Psalm 9, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit," describes the Ancient of Days and all that happened within heaven where judgment was being administered and the books were being opened, where great words were spoken. Verse 11 says, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great word which the horn, that little horn arising out of the 10 kingdoms, I beheld then because of the voice of the which the great horn spoke, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, till his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And concerning the rest of the beasts, they have their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Then begins an account in night visions, which was of a totally different kind, and which particularly fits today. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him kingdom, dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and in the visions of the head that troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. This it follows the interpretation of the four beasts and of the various kingdoms which will be set up. These great beasts, which are four kings. And if there are four kings, there must be four kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, the nondescript beast, out of which the 10 horns came. Verse 19 said, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns which were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things. Daniel wanted to know all about these 10 horns and this special horn. Verse 21 says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. And remember, that horn is on earth. He made war with the saints and prevailed against them until, that's a new word which I want to speak to you about. It's a word that I have referred to many times in my messages. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Now I want to leave this passage for a moment and go back to another favorite passage of mine, Psalm 110, verse 1. And Jehovah said unto my Adonai, sit thou on my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. Now, I think that prophecy came to pass and was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended from the grave, victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over Satan, in the domain of Hades where Satan was. Jesus Christ became the victor, and he had the keys of death and hell. He opened the doors of those that had been held in bondage by Satan under the principle of death, and he ascended into heaven. That, I think, is the meaning of Psalm 24. Lift up ye gates, and be ye lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, come in. That's the ascension, the triumphant return of the victor of Calvary back to heaven, his own domain. Chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation speak of him sitting there, surrounded by the elders who were undoubtedly part of his retinue when he rose from the dead. But the point that I want to point out to you is this. The Lord Jehovah told the Adonai, the Lord Jesus Christ, and David the psalmist, the prophet, heard it. Sit thou on my right hand. Sit down now. You've completed your work until I make all your enemies your footstool. Remember, until I make all your enemies your footstool. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to remain seated on a throne in heaven, carrying on his intercession on behalf of his people on earth before his Father, and until all his enemies are made his footstool. Now, may I ask you a question? Who's going to make his enemies his footstool? My answer is, the saints on earth who are going to rise to exercise the authority and judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ has secured for them, the victory that is his has become theirs, and they are going to triumph over sin, over sickness, over Satan, and all the powers of darkness. And this fits in with the quotation in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 19 and 21. Shall we read it? This is Peter's second sermon after the day of Pentecost. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just verse 19, 20 and 21. His instructions, therefore, to the people. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who which before you was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, and the author, the other versions put it, and retain, until, there's that word until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. The heavens must retain Jesus Christ, and he must remain there until the restoration of all things. That's one indication as to when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. When all things have been restored which were spoken by the prophets since the world began. That's the restoration of Israel at least. The restoration of many other things which we have no time to inquire into at the moment. But can I refer you back again now to Daniel chapter 7? I beheld, and the same horn, and I think that little horn we're hearing referred to now could be, and is likely to be, the Antichrist that will rise and is going to rise out of these 10 kingdoms, which I believe is the 10 kingdoms of the common market today. An Antichrist will arise. And that Antichrist will be very powerful. And he will make war with the saints. That's Daniel 7:21. And will be allowed to prevail against them. Now, are you hearing what I'm reading? The saints are on earth when the Antichrist is able to make war against them. And he prevails until the intervention of three things. And those three things are important. I want to refer to you what those three things are. First of all, until the Ancient of Days comes and overcomes. And secondly, until judgment is given to the saints. That's verse 22. Three, until the time for the saints to possess the kingdom. That's verse 18, 22, and 27. And if you refer to Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and Luke 22 and verse 30, you will find the cross references there of where the time has come for the saints to possess the kingdom. And those people are on earth when the Antichrist is allowed to persecute them, make war against them, and I want to emphasize, make war against them, and be allowed to prevail for a time until they learn to prevail against him. Now I must admit that there is one phrase that I have already quoted to you which I do not understand. I am not able to understand verse 21, which says that the kingdom, the little horn rather, is allowed to prevail until the Ancient of Days shall come. Now I don't know who this Ancient of Days is. I notice the date in his Bible speaks of the Ancient of Days, connecting verse 22 with verse 13, as being God the Father. In verse 13 it says, he saw the one like unto the Son of Man, who was brought to the Ancient of Days. There were two persons. And the Ancient of Days there is identified as God the Father. There is no doubt as to who the Son of Man is, for the Lord Jesus Christ himself took that title when he was on earth. If our interpretation of verse 13 is correct, that the Ancient of Days is God the Father, then we must be very careful how we interpret verse 22, which says, until the Ancient of Days comes. Dake assumes from that, and I think this is the only place where he can find this support, that the God the Father is coming back to earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Son of Man, to establish the kingdom of heaven. Whether that is correct or not, I do not know. I only know that there is a time limit given by which the little horn, or I think we can safely say is the Antichrist, will be given permission and power to persevere against the saints. In my next message, in which I shall deal with the four horsemen, I will also speak of the powers in heaven being exercised to bring about judgment on the earth. Power is under the control of the Lord God Almighty, not under Satan. Satan will give a certain amount of his power to the Antichrist as being his representative on earth, but the overall command is still with God. Until judgment is given to the saints, until the time comes for the saints to possess the kingdom, that's the time until. And I want to say this, that here it is quite apparent that there will be a conflict, a war, between the Antichrist and the saints on earth. Can I pause again and ask you to read Psalm 149, another favorite psalm of mine, which, bearing in mind the war that is going to go on between the saints and the Antichrist, and I hope you're coming along with me in thought, because I'm going to interpret it for you in a moment. Psalm 149, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishment upon the people. That means war on earth. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And that certainly hasn't happened yet. To execute judgment upon them, the judgment that is written. Dishonor have all his saints. Now, I agree that the people who speak of that as pertaining to the rule and reign of the saints on earth during the millennium have a very just right cause to interpret it such. But I believe that it has a pre-millennium meaning as well. The saints can in these last days exercise authority on behalf of God and behalf of the Holy Spirit to fulfill Psalm 110:1, until I make your enemies your footstool. And the saints can execute judgment with a two-edged sword, the word of God in their mouth, to execute vengeance, judgments upon the nations, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. That mainly and fully will come to pass in the millennium. I believe there will be a pre-millennium manifestation of that. Now, can I go back again to Daniel chapter 7? And also to the question, what time will the kingdom be set up? There are those who believe that the kingdom will not be set up until the Lord Jesus Christ fully comes to the earth with his saints after the great tribulation. And that the majority of commentators today believe that the church will be raptured entirely before the tribulation sets in, that the church will escape all the tribulation, and that we shall be in heaven during the whole of that period, and that we shall be all right. Now, there are two big difficulties in believing that. It is certainly the general opinion of the majority of the evangelical church. The preaching of the second coming ought, in most cases, means that the church will be taken away before the tribulation begins. There are certain scriptures which do not confirm that. One is, in Daniel 7, that the little horn, who is undoubtedly the Antichrist, will persecute the saints and make war with them and prevail against them for a time. Now, I want to point out one big difficulty with the people who believe that Revelation 4:1, where it says a door was opened in heaven, means the rapture. I noticed the date in his exposition of that chapter and of the, in his book, The Revelation Expounded, gives many reasons why the rapture occurs when that door opens in heaven. I therefore will say that everything from that point has to be fitted into the theory that the church has gone away. And therefore, he has great difficulty in expounding Daniel chapter 7 verse 22 and Daniel 6 and Daniel Revelation 6 and Revelation 11, where the trumpets are sounded and the tribulation is carried on the earth. It's great difficulty. May I also ask you a question? I think God in these last days is preparing a special people who are learning how to make war. Ephesians 6 strongly commands the people who are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to put on the whole armor of God to fight against principalities and powers enthroned in heavenly places at the present moment and to prevail against them. Now, if the church is going to be taken away before the manifestation of the little horn, before the unveiling and revelation of the Antichrist, before the beginning of the tribulation, why should God prepare a company of his people to make war, teach them how to use breastplate and helmet and a sword and shield, and then whisk them away in the rapture before the actual war begins? That doesn't make sense. I believe the army of God is being prepared at the present moment to make war. And that war means tribulation. That war means war with the little horn. That is amply demonstrated by Daniel 7:22. The little horn is allowed to prevail until three facts come. until the intervention of the Ancient of Days and the saints of the Most High judgment is given to them, and when the saints begin to possess the kingdom. That surely is the time when Jesus Christ will be manifested back on earth. I certainly believe there will be an out resurrection. I certainly believe that the whole church will not pass through the whole of the tribulation. But I am of the opinion that we shall see a pre-manifestation where the Antichrist spirit at least will be revealed, where war will be loosed on the earth, and where Satan will be cast down on the earth, and war will be upon the earth, and saints will battle against him, thus fulfilling Psalm 149, thus concluding the battle in this dispensation, in this age, whereby God, not using his Son, who is seated on a throne in heaven, but using his Son's sons, his many-membered army, his many-membered body, who have learned to wield a sword, who have learned to use the commands of their mouth, who have learned to triumph in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are battle-trained warriors in this age to defeat and make all his enemies his footstool. That's what's got to come to pass. Now, the fullness of that will undoubtedly be in the millennium, where Jesus Christ and his forces will establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. But in these next few years, we are going to see a battle raging, which will be a battle between the saints, the army, and the Antichrist, who will be partially revealed, and there's a probability we shall move into the tribulation, and we shall not be allowed to get away with all the easy part. God has more confidence in his church than many commentators. He's not going to train us as an army and then whisk us away, catch us away, because he can't trust us to fight. We are not a weak body. We are a strong body. We can well able to overcome the enemy. We are equipped to finish the enemy, and we're going to finish the enemy on the earth and defeat him. May God help us to be prepared in these last few years of this dispensation, ready to make war, ready to fight, until we have made all his enemies his footstool, until we have learned how to conquer, and then we'll be caught away. I think my next message to you will explain a little bit more of that. Meanwhile, I can assure you the kingdom of heaven, a literal kingdom, a kingdom which will smash all the Gentile kingdoms, is going to be set up. It will be set up, and we will take part in the setting of it up. We will be part of the government, I hope, and Jesus Christ will be the head of it. And that government is not very far away. Meanwhile, we have got to learn the art of war, the art of fighting against the principalities and powers of demon kingdom, the powers of darkness, and learn how to make Jesus Christ Lord, how to make men and women bow in his presence. How is it going to be done? By preaching the gospel of the kingdom, demonstrating that Jesus Christ is Lord and can make sin bow in his presence, overcome sickness, overcome all powers of the enemy, and make them bow. And then by an army trained to deal with the powers of Satan, expressed by Satan through kings and rulers on the earth, we've got to learn how to exercise spiritual dominion, and that is going to be the ultimate before the Lord comes to catch us away. I will deal with that in more detail in my next message.